You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
I see one third of a nation ill-housed, ill-clad, ill-nourished, and the test of our progress is not whether we add more to the abundance of those who have much, it's whether we provide enough for those who have too little. The words immortalized by U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt during his second inaugural address in 1937 find particular resonance in South Africa in 2020 as the country which entered the global coronavirus pandemic on the back of two recessions in as many years looks to find inspiration for an economic recovery with its own sort of new deal. And I'm joined now by Neil Hill, Managing Director of Ford Motor Company of Southern Africa, to talk about the role that leadership plays in all of this and the lessons that, Neil, welcome, that you've learned through the crisis.
Michael, thank you very much, and it's a great pleasure to be with you today.
Now, we know it's been tough on all businesses this period. Just share the impact, firstly, on Ford Motor Company.
Michael, I think, you know, first and foremost was the shutdown that was decreed by the government, and Ford Motor Company had actually taken the decision prior to that that we would shut our operations, and we actually triggered that about 10 days before the government announced its lockdown. But that effectively meant from the 16th of March, we asked all of our employees who work in our offices to start working remotely, and we did that over a weekend. And then we'd already had plans in place to shut our manufacturing facility. It effectively meant that for the entire second quarter, we had zero production coming out of our facility. And we very swiftly moved an entire workforce to work remotely. And it certainly put the leadership team in South Africa and globally under a lot of pressure to react very nimbly, to take care of our people, to manage their perceptions, their concerns, their fears during these exceptionally turbulent times. And I think that this is where being part of a global organization has also been tremendously helpful for us, because we were able to look at and reach out to colleagues overseas who are going through the same things, maybe a little bit ahead of us, to learn lessons from them, share best practices, but then also get the guidance and steering in terms of, you know, what we term as our playbook for being able to handle this turmoil that we're going to be dealing with. And, you know, I think for me, one of the key things was just the absolute clarity of thinking and focusing in terms of separating uncontrollable factors from controllable factors. So that was absolutely crucial for me, is control the controllables, to a certain extent park the uncontrollables to one side. Don't ignore them, but just realize that they're not necessarily going to be those that you can do anything about in the immediate term. You can't plan for them, but you can react to them. And then communication to me was absolutely crucial. So we really over-indexed in communicating to our staff, and we have 4,300 employees spread across the two locations, as well as 144 dealerships across the country. So we needed to make sure that we were communicating transparently, quickly, candidly with our people to advise them and to reassure them in terms of the actions we were taking and what we were going to do to ensure the survival of our business. Our cost structure didn't necessarily change immediately. We still had a lot of, you know, cash flowing out of the business with minimal revenue coming in. But what we needed to do was make sure that we were in a survival mode, that we were protecting our people, reassuring them, and gearing up for the point at which the business was going to reopen.
I was chatting to AECI CEO Mark Deiter yesterday at their results, and he said they had a plan to introduce Microsoft Teams throughout the business over a period of about a year, and then COVID struck, and it's incredible how within a month they managed to roll out Teams across the organization, and 90% of their employees embraced it with open arms. Was it a similar experience with Ford?
Well, we've already, because of the global nature of our business, we've had a very extensive video conferencing capability that we've utilized, which we use Cisco WebEx as our platform. And it was quite ironic that we've been utilizing it to a great extent, and I think it's been the bane of everybody's existence prior to COVID. As soon as COVID happened, in the month of April, Ford Motor Company globally clocked up more hours on Cisco WebEx in the entire month of April than we did in the entire month, a year of 2019 on a global footprint. The transition was seamless. The technology infrastructure was there. And, you know, the ability to have the video cameras on, we're not that we insist that everybody has it, but what it does is it's kept that human contact, which is so important, which a lot of people are struggling with. But the robustness of the platform and the ability to actually continue to operate has been remarkable. And I think we probably have found out ways of cramming more into a day than we previously thought possible. But the important thing is that we still continue to find those human connections and, you know, we don't lose that social fabric that makes the organization so important. And I think that that's the delicate balance that we've been able to strike. But certainly the technology platforms have helped tremendously.
Yeah, I think as a leader, you've got to think quite deeply now about the culture inside the organization. It's always this amorphous, intangible, difficult thing to fully wrap your hands around, especially at a time now when you're managing remote teams, where people are working longer. To your point, we're kind of living at work, not working from home. And so it's not that it's a productivity issue. It's that many people are almost working too hard and almost approaching burnout. How has this crisis overall exposed the way you think about leadership and perhaps exposed some misconceptions that you might have had or maybe reinforced certain other ideas that you might have had about leadership?
I think, Michael, the key thing for me is that it's really reinforced for me one of the key philosophies that I've always had, which is never lose touch with the human side of the business and the people that make up the organization. So I've always had a belief that I manage by feet. So I like to get up and walk around the organization and I talk to people. And it's not only about the business, but it's also about what's happening in their personal lives to create that personal connection. To be able to relate to people at a personal level for me has been always important. So I've really emphasized that particular component of it to keep doing that and checking on people because we're all dealing with different things in different ways. And, you know, we were chatting previously about how work has now come into our home space as opposed to vice versa. And it's very important that we reflect on that and that we respect the space that exists. And we find a way to be able to fill our 8 or 10 hours a day with meetings at every half an hour sort of blocks, and you're running from one meeting to the other and you get so focused about, you know, getting into the topic and being productive in that space that you forget those human touches. So I've always made a point and have certainly dialed it up now during this period as well, is to check in with people and check how they're doing, how are they coping emotionally with what we're dealing with, and really focus in on the softer side of the business. Because if we lose sight of that, we will get to burnout and there will be COVID fatigue, as a lot of people are already experiencing. Yeah. So that's very important. And then the other notion that I subscribe very strongly to is the inverted pyramid of servant leadership. And, you know, my job is to provide the tools and the facilities for people to be able to perform and to exceed. I need my people to perform, and it's crucial that I'm an enabler of that, to be able to give them the best platform off which to shine, be that information, be that technology platforms, be that support, be that the space for people to actually have a safe space to fail. And, you know, it's not a comment that I've actually coined myself, but it's a phrase that I picked up in a book that I'm reading at the moment, which is entitled Simple Habits for Complex Times. And it was quite appropriate that I started reading the book just before COVID hit. But that safe space for people to fail is so essential to be able to allow people to experiment and to grow as individuals in the organization and contribute in ways that they don't think they never thought possible previously, but to have that opportunity just to expand to their fullest.
And to create that environment, as you say, that stimulates innovation as well. If you feel you can fail safely, you're not going to be afraid of that failure. And it breaks out of a very conservative mindset that we do still seem to find in many businesses in South Africa in particular. Neil, great pleasure chatting to you and sharing your insights into leadership through what must be one of the most difficult periods to lead through in any of our lifetimes. And I'll have to have you back on. I was hoping to have a bit of time to talk electric vehicles and what you're doing down in Silverton. Some interesting collaboration there, I see, with VW as well. But we'll have to have you back on the show sometime soon to talk about that. Take care.
It would be my absolute pleasure, Michael, to come back and spend some more time with you. And thank you for the opportunity.
That was Neil Hill, MD of Ford Motor Company of Southern Africa, just sharing some of his thoughts and insights into leadership through COVID-19.